morning, sir. Would you state your name and ADC number for the record?
My name is Brian Allen Duke, ADC 211326.
Thank you, Mr. Duke. You appear before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for the one allegation on your warrant. And based upon information that we have, you were notified of this hearing back on November the 16th of this year. Do you remember that notification, sir?
Yes, I do, sir.
And on that, it stated, among other things, that you could hire an attorney at your own expense to represent you. We don't see one in the room today, therefore, may I assume that you are representing yourself, sir?
That's correct, sir.
And as you can see, there are two panel members participating in your hearing today, and they are the Honorable Mr. Louis Kawanis. My name is C.T. Wright. I'm serving as your panel chair. We also have in the room with us today Mr. Osborne. Mr. Osborne is representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer this morning, sir. Before we move forward, I have a question for you and for Mr. Osborne, and that is, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, will help you run, or do you so affirm?
Yes, I do, sir.
I do.
Thank you. As I indicated, Mr. Duke, you have one allegation on your warrant. I am going to read it, and once I read it, would you tell me whether it is true or false? And it reads that you are in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 12A, as demonstrated by your failure to report to your assigned parole officer within one working day after being discharged or leaving from your place of residence located at 1841 West Fairmont Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona, on or about October 3rd, 2017. Your whereabouts was unknown, thus you was an instructor from supervision. Sir, is that true or false?
Yes, it is true. I did leave my residence.
Okay, well, you have a chance to explain it when we go into phase two, sir, but now we will complete phase one. Based upon the admission of Mr. Duke, I move to find that he's in violation of the terms and conditions of supervision, that he was delinquent, that he had or may have lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
By the unanimous determination of the board, you've been found in violation of the terms and conditions of your supervision. Now, sir, we're going into phase two of your hearing. And in phase two of your hearing, we received testimony from the part. Are you okay, sir? I see you're bending over. Are you?
I can't. The phone keeps cutting in and out. I can't hear what you're saying.
Okay. As I was saying, that we're going into phase two of your hearing. And in phase two, the board will make a determination whether to revoke your community supervision or to continue your own supervision. We begin phase two by receiving some testimony from the Department of Corrections regarding you. And after we get that, we'll come back and talk with you, sir. At this time, we're going to ask Mr. Osborne to provide us with some information about you, sir. Mr. Osborne, sir.
Yes, sir. Mr. Duke was released from guilty custody on September 27, 2017. He was arrested on October 15, 2017 by the Phoenix Police Department on the misconduct status. As a turn back our custody that same day, with 12 misconduct days, with a community supervision ended on February 7th of 2018. Current conviction, 2017 marijuana violation, 6 months. And 2017 flight from law vehicle, 9 months. Prior convictions, 2006, burglary, second degree, 3 years, 6 months. 2006, burglary, second degree, 3 years, 6 months. 2006, marijuana violation, 2 years, 6 months. 2010, drug paraphernalia violation, 1 year. 2010, misconduct involving weapons, 7 years. And 2010, criminal trespass, first degree, 2 years, 9 months. He's had 3 terms with DOC, has a CUIR score of 2-3, a mental health score of 1, and a substance abuse score of 3. There's no STG or gang information noted. Prior term of supervision, 2008. Senate Bill 1291 completion, 1 year. In 2015, he was an absolute discharge. He has a moderate disciplinary history with theft and refusals to program noted, and since his return on November 14th, 2017, received a minor violation for unauthorized smoking or use of tobacco. And he has committed the risk of G2B4.
Thank you so much, Mr. Osborne. Okay, Mr. Duke, can you hear me now, sir?
Yes, I can.
Okay, sir. We're just going to talk to you for a few minutes and get some information from you and share with you information that we have. Based on information that we have, when you were released, you were to reside at Reborn Assistance in Phoenix. How long did you stay at Reborn, or did you stay there all while you were out, sir?
I stayed there for approximately 5 days. The reason why I left, when I got out, I went to report to my parole officer. They told me that I had to stay at Reborn, so I went to Reborn. And I didn't meet my real parole officer the first day, so they had to come back in a week. And within that time, I went and reported a week later to my parole officer. But what happened at Reborn was, I'm not sure if you know, but I'm currently in the 805 process, and I've had a lot of 805 issues in the past with protective custody because I have paperwork issues, and I have a lot of issues in DOC that pertain to my safety. And I was at Reborn, I was actually grouped up with somebody that I had 805 issues with in the past that should have been on my do not house list in DOC, but at the time I didn't know his name. And to be completely honest with you, this guy's like a member of the Aryan Brotherhood, and we actually had the same parole officer. And I mean, I acted on impulse and I left the residence because I was scared and I didn't know what to do. But I mean, that doesn't justify the fact that I broke the terms of my parole. I mean, I did do that, but that was the reason why I did that. I honestly didn't know how to proceed with it, and I was kind of in fear for my life, and I didn't really know what to do at the time. And the fact that we had the same parole officer kind of scared me a little bit, and I didn't really know how to approach my parole officer about it. But I did plan on reporting by my next parole date, which would have been, or my next report date, which would have been 11:15, according to the terms that he gave me when I saw him on the 2nd. And I was just hoping that we could figure it out then, because I figured that I had ample enough time between those 2 days to figure out new accommodations. But I was arrested before that, and I didn't even know there was a warrant put out. So I did break the rule, so I mean, I'm prepared to deal with the consequences wherever you guys feel is appropriate. So that's really all I have to say.
Okay, let me just ask this, Mr. Duke. Where did you go after you left Reborn? Where did you go? Where did you reside after leaving Reborn, sir?
I went to the homeless shelter at Phoenix Rescue Mission and stayed there. And I was in that time, I was trying to contact my parents and see if I could go back there, but parole had denied that initially, so I didn't know if that was a viable option. So I was continuing to reside there until I was going to stay there until my next report date, and just hope that my PO would work with me.
Where are your parents located? Are they in the Phoenix area or somewhere else, sir?
Yes, they are. They're at 4233 West Yucca, and I was trying to parole there, and everything was good. I paroled there both times that I've been in DOC before. I completed parole in 2008 from that address without any problems at all. I mean, I'm no stranger to parole, and I can follow the terms of it. I've been successful on it before, and I would have been successful this time. I just, the afterwatch just didn't work out because of that reason, and it was just unfortunate. I didn't mean for it to happen that way, but unfortunately it did, and I acted on impulse. It was my fault, you know what I mean? It was the best way I knew how to deal with it in that situation. I did still continue to contact TASC until I was arrested, and like I say, I did break the rule, though, and I'm sorry for that.
Okay, sir. Now, I don't show any employment. Did you have any employment at all while you were out, sir?
No, I was only out briefly, and I didn't have a chance. I didn't even have identification yet to get employment. I was in the process of getting all that stuff sent, and it was going to take 10 working days from when I got it, and I hadn't received that stuff in the mail, so I couldn't even start working yet. I did have a job lined up through the halfway house, but since the conflict with the roommate and that situation, I didn't know how that was going to work. I was going to get that job and try to see if I could transfer to a different reborn location. But like I said, I was arrested before that even happened. I just happened to get stopped one day while I was out about doing my business.
Well, that's the next question I was going to ask. Now, what were you doing when the Phoenix Police Department picked you up, sir?
I was just on the side of the road. I was on the side of the road, and I was in a group of people that I guess were what they figured was loitering, and I was just stopped casually and asked for ID. And I gave them my name. I gave them everything was true. I gave them all that stuff, and they said that I had a warrant. So I went peacefully, and I was like, you know what, we can go, we can handle this, and I'll cooperate, and I'll go do whatever needs to be done.
Okay, sir. I'm going to see if my distinguished colleague, the Honorable Mr. Kiwanis, might have any questions for you at this time, sir.
No, Mr. Board Chairman.
Okay, thank you. But the Honorable Mr. Osborne wants to share something with us. Mr. Osborne, sir.
Yes, sir. Just on notes of his last question that he was speaking of, in which he wished to return, when the PO went out to conduct the investigation, states that on 8/30/17, it's also arrived at the residence of the co-sponsor, Alan and Ruth Roof, at 4233 West Jack Street, Phoenix, Arizona, 85229, and met with Ruth Roof. During the course of the investigation, it's also learned that the offender paroled to and resided with Mr. and Ms. Roof during his previous period of parole supervision, which involved a time when Ms. Ruth had to call the police on the offender and put a restraining order on him.
Thank you so very much, sir. Okay, sir, the board has no further questions for you at this time, but this is your hearing. We want to give you an opportunity to make a final statement to the board before the board goes into discussion. Anything else you want to tell the board without repeating yourself, sir?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you so very much. At this time, the board is going into discussion. It may sound as if we're talking to you, but we're not. We're just talking among ourselves. The board is now in discussion. This is an unfortunate situation, as Mr. Duke indicated, that he's quite familiar with the parole system, and according to him, he was assigned to, according to the warrant, he was assigned to reborn assistance, and according to Mr. Duke, that was that person who ended up being his roommate, who, because of his 805 situation, that he just did not feel comfortable around, and as a result of that, he decided to leave, and for whatever reason, he did not contact his parole officer, and therefore they had no way of being in contact with him. That was an unfortunate situation. After he had left, that he did not contact his parole officer and indicate why he had absconded. Therefore, I don't feel that he, at this time, that he's suitable for community supervision, but I'm prepared to listen to my distinguished colleague, Mr. Kiwanis.
Thank you, Mr. Board Chairman. I agree with you, and I believe he might be safer under these conditions with only 2 months left of his community supervision.
Thank you so very much, sir. Great observation. Okay, therefore, I'm going to move to find that Mr. Duke did violate the terms and conditions of supervision, that he was delinquent in as much as he absconded and in as much as his parole officer had no idea where he was the short time that he was out. And I further agree with what my distinguished colleague has said, that it would be in his best interest for security reasons involved because of his 805 status, that he would remain until such time he had a plan to get out. Therefore, with that being said, I further move to revoke his community supervision based upon the
second.
Thank you so very much, sir. Okay, Mr. Duke, your community supervision has been revoked. However, you will be getting out on February the 7th of next year, which is just a very short period of time. We hope that you will put together a plan and also that you will prepare some way to be secure when you get out, because we understand when that type of situation exists There may be some who may be taking an interest in you. So please, sir, work with your CO3, work with your parents and any others in the community to try to make sure that when you get out in February, you will be secure and nothing will happen to you in the future. This will end your hearing, sir, and thank you so much for your participation. And please don't hang up the phone. Please just lay it down, sir. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.